This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد. As it was announced, today is the third lecture in the series about spending time with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and we'll be dealing with those times when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed happiness or he showed joy, which is a really important issue. It's an important issue because some people unfortunately have this idea and this concept that once you start practicing the religion, you have to look at the dunya with gloom and doom, and everything is negative. The person sees the glass as being half full or half empty. So he sees in his life things are not perfect. His children are not perfect. His wife is not perfect. His masjid is not perfect. His house is not perfect. And because of that lack of imperfection, the person becomes very negative, to the point that some people, they extinguish the light and the spirit of their child, or the light, the spirit of their wife, family members. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. Tell them, Muhammad, I'm a human being like you human beings, but revelation comes to me. As a result of being a human being, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to go through all of the emotions that human beings go through that are positive, and the emotions that may be considered to be negative. For an example, you're going to have to worry as a human being. The person's going to be sad. The person, he has those emotions. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. The prophets and the messengers, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim ajma'in, they never become people who give up hope. That's a negative emotion that they don't have. They never give up hope to the degree where one of them wants to commit suicide. So there is a narration when the surah Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq was revealed. They said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought about throwing himself off of the mountain in order to kill himself. La wallahi. People who have complete intellect, people who have sound minds, they don't consider committing suicide. People who have mental problems and have issues, they are the people who think about committing suicide. So the point here is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had the whole gamut of emotions that people have because he's a human being. He is a human being. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. Verily, Allah is the one who makes you people laugh, and Allah makes you cry. And he mentioned both of them. He didn't just mention he makes you cry or he makes you laugh. He mentioned both of them. The meaning of the ayat, Allah makes you laugh and he makes you cry. In the hereafter, the non-Muslims are going to be crying because of the kufr and the shirk and the ma'asiyah that they used to commit. And in the hereafter, the believers are going to be laughing and they're going to be happy because of the tawheed and the sunnah and the ta'atillah, obedience of Allah that they used to do. May Allah cause all to die on al-Islam. That's in the hereafter. But also in the dunya, Allah is the one who makes you laugh and Allah is the one who makes you cry. And both of those characteristics were mentioned, polar opposites. So if you are a person who's laughing all the time, there's a problem. Laughing all the time and being a joker and cracking jokes and making people laugh, that's a problem. We don't want you in our majlis. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell the people, كَثْرَةُ الدَّهَكْ تَمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Always laughing, over laughing will cause your heart to die. And also, in contrast, the person who is always upset and serious, we don't want you in our majlises either. We don't want you visiting us. We don't want you to be our sahib. Because something's wrong. You can't be like that. And that's why I say, Ikhwani, that the dunya that we're living in, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَامِ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Those are the days that we cause people to go through. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. So when those Muslims migrated to Al-Habasha in Ethiopia, and the king was asking Ja'far ibn Abi Talib and the Muslims about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Heracle of Rome, he said to the man, to the companions, this messenger that you believe in back in Mecca, when he has fights and wars with his enemy, does he win all the time? What happens? They said, sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. No one's going to win all the time. No one's going to win all the time. It's up and it's down. So I say, anytime in this life, we have valleys and we have peaks. That's how it goes. You have ups and downs. Anytime you'll find in your life, like right now, there are some people stressed out right now. They're in trouble. Someone has issues, financial trouble, social issues. He has mental issues. He's in trouble. He or she is in a fitna. Marital problems going to break down, and they're not feeling very well right now. But all of us are not feeling that way. So I say, and this is my advice, because of the many valleys that we have, and it happens all the time, sooner or later, you're going to have something you have to deal with. I say, when you're finally at the top and something happens, then I say, ride the wheels off of that until the wheels fall off. Ride until the wheels fall off. Because pretty soon, you're going to be in the valley. It's going to be down. Don't be one of them mutashaddid people, rough, tough people, who your family can't tolerate you. Your family, they can't tolerate you as a mother, as a father. People around you can't tolerate you because you're negative. And then some people use the religion to do that. So you find this with practicing people. You find this with people who practice from all of the groups. Now, I don't want to deal with the other groups, but people who are really trying to practice a salafiyah, meaning how the companions understood the Quran and the Sunnah and practice it, may Allah be pleased with them, then you're the last person. You're the last person who should have ghulu and go overboard in people. You're the last person who, when it comes to, you know, living, you're the last person to be rough and tough like that. Because the Nabi wasn't like that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to laugh, as his companion said. Every time I saw the Prophet and I met him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met me with a smile. He met me with a smile. So there's a hadith that people use, and that is the authentic hadith where he told his companion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, if you people knew what I knew, you would laugh less and cry more. That's an authentic hadith. If you knew what I knew, you would laugh a lot less and cry more. So the person is walking around like this all the time. Abasa wa tawalla. He's always like this. Like Dhu Khuwaisira. Dhu Khuwaisira. He was a man who came and said, Ya Muhammad, give me some more money. You didn't try to be fair in this distribution of the money. Give me some more money. And they described him. They said he had big eyebrows, and he had those marks in his head, in his forehead, and he was always looking upset, crazy, to be honest with you. Why are you looking like that, Ya Abdullah? Prophet Muhammad said, if you knew what I knew, you would laugh less and cry more. Yeah, but his companion, Anas ibn Umar, those companions said that every time they met him, he met them with a smile. So how do you harmonize that hadith? You're understanding that hadith the wrong way. So we have to be balanced, and that's what we want to show you today. Balance in al-Islam. Allahu alladhi anzal al-kitab bil-haq wal-mizan. Allah revealed the Quran in truth and he revealed the scales. تَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The words of your Lord, this religion has been complete with truthfulness and justice. Our religion is a balanced religion. It's not a religion that's to the right like this. اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. The Sirat al-Mustaqim is in the middle. So everything the Muslim does, he tries to do it in a balanced way. She tries to do it in a balanced way. Daesh, ISIS, those people are not balanced. Because when they see people like us, and we're on Islam, if you don't agree with something they say, they're going to kill you. What kind of religion is that? That you walk around mad at the whole world, and you believe that's getting close to Allah? Now, Daesh, ISIS, they don't have a monopoly on that. I told you, practicing people tend to be like that, rough and tough with people, judgmental, intolerant, looking down at people with disdain. And no one has the right to do that because no one knows his relationship with Allah. Did Allah accept it, not accept it? So as it relates to this issue, ikhwani, we want to remain balanced because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was a human being, so he's a person who had good times, and he had bad times. The other issue that I want to mention is, I'm not going to deal with all of the times when Rasulullah got happy, but I want to share with you an ayat that will help you to understand. If anything happens to you in your life and is applicable through this ayat, then you can be happy. And if people are around you and they're not being happy for those things, you have to pull their coat and school them and let them know something is wrong with you. You are not balanced. Man who has more than one wife, if he's giving one wife all of the rights and he's neglecting the other wife, Rasulullah said he will come yawm al-qiyamah and one of his sides will be dragging because he's not balanced. Something's wrong. He said, don't wear one shoe. Either wear both of them or take both of them off. That's the balance and the justice of Al-Islam. Don't sit in a place where half of your body is in the shade and half of your body is in the sun. Get all in the shade or get all in the sun. This is the balance that the Prophet used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strive to plant in the minds and the hearts of people. This ayat is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, قُلْ فَبِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Tell your people, Ya Muhammad, Bani Adam, tell all of them, because of the fadl of Allah and because of the rahmah of Allah, then you should be happy. This is better for you and better than what you're doing. Now, I don't have time to get deep into this ayah, but it's an important ayah. People use this ayah the wrong way. This is one of the main ayah that people use for the maulid. Has nothing to do with the maulid. This ayat has nothing to do with the maulid because the maulid is an innovation, is outside of this religion. The Prophet did not bring that maulid. So people said, by the fadl of Allah, his fadl, his virtues, and because of his rahmah, be happy for that. That is better for you than what you do. So they say the Prophet's birthday, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is from the fadl of Allah. The Prophet's birthday, the day he was born, that is a rahmah. So, because of this ayat, let's do the maulid. We say, hey had. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, radiallahu anhum, they didn't understand that ayat that way. They gave the tafsir of the ayat, and they never came to that conclusion. But this ayat, ikhwani, very quickly, this ayat is telling us, anything connected to you in your life that you can identify something that's from the fadl of Allah and is from the rahmah of Allah, the ayat is telling you, be happy because of that. So anything you can think about that is from the fadl of Allah and his rahmah, you have a right to be happy. So when a person has a baby, he has every right to be happy and to celebrate. When a person's son memorizes the Quran, Juz Amma, he has every right to be happy. He gets married happy. His daughter gets married, son gets married happy. He gets a job, happy. When those things happen, you get a new apartment, a new flat, a new house, happy. It's celebrating time. But the end of the ayah said, "Huwa khayru mimma yajma'un." Being happy is better than what they're doing, but happiness is expressed according to the Quran and the Sunnah. So when we have a walima, for an example, for the nikah, we have the nikah and we're going to be happy. But what happiness? The women are going to put makeup all on, and they don't wear hijab. Other men are around them. They're going to put music on. We're going to be acting and mixing up. Not that kind of happiness. Not that kind of happiness. Person gets married, and the man who got married, the man and the woman, they don't even pray. They go on a honeymoon, they don't even pray. That's not talking about that. This ayah is talking about if something is from the fadl of Allah and the rahmah of Allah azza wa jal, then be happy, but be happy within the confines of the religion. So that's the general rule. We're not here to talk about everything that Prophet Muhammad did where he showed and manifested happiness from something that happened. But there are many things, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. First one that we want to mention, ikhwani, and I'm pulling these out for a reason, because I want to address today the mutashaddideen, them rough and tough people. We don't want you around us like that. We don't want you sitting in our majlis with that I'm holier than thou and that intolerant way. We don't want that. We have enough volleys that we have to deal with the problems that we don't need people bringing to us that negativity. And the Nabi was a person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who brought a religion where he told us to be optimistic anyway. He asked the lady, what's your name? The lady said, my name is Asiya, not Asiya. Not Asiya like some of your daughters, sisters. No, Asiya, the one who is disobedient and sinning. Rasulullah said, no, your name is Jamila. You're not disobedient, you're beautiful. He asked the man, where did you come from? The man came, he said, I came from a dust bowl. Where I come from, no vegetation, it's just a lot of dust, it's always blowing. The Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. You came from a place where there's a lot of greenery. He would go down one road when he goes to the Eid, and he would come back home through the other way. Why did he do that? He could have went one street, came down the same street. Scholars of Islam said, one reason, he wants to give people salams, more people on the two streets. Another reason, I'm going down this way after fasting the month of Ramadan, and I'm coming back a different road after praying the salat of Eid al-Fitr, and it's symbolic of, I'm going to be a changed person. I'm going to be a better person. When he used to make the salat of al-Istisqa, salat for the rain, special salat, he would take his clothes, like his bisht, he had a cape on. After the salat, he would turn it inside out. Take his hat, turn it inside out. Why did you do that? To say, we hope things are going to change. He was optimistic. We don't want those people around us who are negative. We have enough negativity that we have to deal with. And we know them. We know aunties, we know mothers, we know fathers, we know relatives, we know friends. They just straight up hate us. Go over and find a zawiya somewhere and hate on your own and let that negativity devour you and destroy you. As for us, we're trying to be on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was a Jewish kid that everybody knows. Someone in this masjid is the newest Muslim here. Someone is the youngest Muslim here. And everybody in this audience, inshallah, we know about that hadith that has not escaped us. It's been handed down to us generation after generation because it's so important. The Jewish boy was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking care of him. And then the boy became sick because sometimes you're well and sometimes you're sick. You're born and you're going to die. Have up, you have down. That boy was taking care of the Nabi, he became sick. And it was clear the boy was going to die. Rasulullah went and gave the boy da'wah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say la ilaha illallah. The little boy looked at his father, and the father said, obey him. Listen to what he has to say. Atir Abu al-Qasim. Listen to him. The boy said the shahada, and then he died. They said that the Prophet came out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a form of expression of being happy, and said, alhamdulillah alladhi anqadhahu min an-nar biya. All praises due to Allah who saved that boy from the hellfire because of me, with my dawah. He was a Yahudi, who Allah said about them in the Quran, تَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Those people who hate the people of Islam the most, like it, who like it, hate it, who hate it, it's the reality. Those people who hate the people of Islam the most, you'll find the ones with the most enmity and animosity towards the people of Islam are the Yahud. And the people who make shirk, the polytheists, Sikhs, Hindus of India, they have a burning hatred for Islam and the Muslims. And that's why if they are given the ability to exterminate them, they'll exterminate them, burn them to death. That's the book of Allah. This boy was a Yahud. And yet when he came into the religion, the companion said, it made the Prophet happy, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he made that dua. Now I chose that example to be the first thing I'm going to deal with to say to you, how is it possible? I want to ask you people, how is it possible? You see people are Muslims and they came into the religion and you're not happy for them. And you're not happy for them. You hear some really crazy things from the people's understanding. If my mother came into this religion, may Allah guide her to Islam. If my mother, as I tell her, ma, listen, ma, listen. Just say, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Don't worry about no salat now. Don't worry about no hijab now. Don't worry about no riba, mortgage. Don't worry about none of that. Just say, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. We cross those other bridges when we get to it. And that's because if my mother died without the deen, she's going to be the hatab from the knot of Jahannam. But if she came into this religion, she has a chance, inshallah. She comes into the religion. Someone says, I don't have the right to be happy because she's not on the sunnah. Come on, man. She's not on the sunnah. I want her to be on the sunnah. No, I want her to know the haq. I don't want her to be with the innovators. I don't want her to do that. Coming through the door of Islam and then jump out of the window because of innovation. I don't want that. But being a Muslim is better than not being a Muslim. The Prophet was happy. So yes, our children, they are not perfect. But alhamdulillah, they're Muslims. They may not always say bismillah. And we have to keep telling them, hey, did you say bismillah? Hey, say bismillah before you eat. You get in the car, they won't give you salams. You have to keep, did you give salams? You have to keep telling your kids that. That may be the case, but they're better than being in a state where they don't have Islam at all. So if you find that a person is on this religion, I'm not saying to applaud people for the mistakes that they make and the sins. I'm not saying that. I'm saying look at the bigger picture. Because from the happinesses that came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is the fact that he showed to the companions what it meant to him that his da'wah was successful by Allah's permission. Another situation, during the sickness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was dying. And the whole community was affected by the reality that he was sick. And he was sick in a way that they never saw before. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew he was sick. And one of the proofs that he was really sick was he stopped praying in the masjid. He stopped praying in the masjid. So after staying home for a number of days, he felt a little bit better. And then two of his companions were with him, and they went to the masjid. As everyone knows, there is a surah in the Quran called Al-Hujurat, the inner apartments. The doors of the Prophet's wives were connected to the masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he could just come out of the masjid and have come out of his house, go straight to whatever he had to deal with the people in the masjid, easy access. He came out of Aisha's house, where his grave is and where he's buried right now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was holding on to one man on his side, the other man on his side. When he got to the door and he saw the Muslims praying Salat and Jama'at, they said he smiled and he showed his pleasure at what was taking place. If you knew what I know, you would laugh less and cry more. Why didn't he cry right now? Why didn't he become angry at that moment? Because that statement is not applicable here. He came out and he saw the condition of the Muslims. They were behind Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the most knowledgeable of them and the best one from amongst them. They were in this salat that he brought to them. The most important pillar of al-Islam from the actions of salat. Nothing is more important in it than the shahadatain. Arabs didn't know this salat before Jahiliyyah. So he knows he's going to die, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he knows as long as these people, radiallahu anhum, in his community, hold on to this salat and what's connected to it, they're going to be okay. They leave this prayer and what's connected to it, then you're going to have Syria, you're going to have India, you're going to have Palestine, you're going to have Iraq, you're going to have Somalia and the rest of the Muslim world. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be a direct reflection of where the salat is in our community, in our lives. So I want to say especially to my students, you young brothers, you guys got to do a better job with praying. Maybe you can't pray in the masjid because you got to get ready to go to school. But we all love the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that he was a person who had been inspired by Allah. He gets happy at those things that deserve for you to get happy with. He was happy when he saw the Muslims praying. So again, for our Shabab, girls and boys, if you hit the age of 10, you should start praying. You're 13, 14, 15, 16, 20, you have to pray. It's wajib. You absolutely have to pray. He told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the difference between us and them is the prayer. Whoever abandons the prayer, he's disbelieved. So that's the second mawqif from those things, or the second situation where the people became happy. And I want to say this right now. Any parent who was here, or any older brother or sister, you have a sibling, especially you parents, you have a child who will make wudu on his own or her own, and they go and pray on their own, you should make sajdatul shukr. You should make sajdatul shukr. Because Allah has blessed you. He blessed you. If your kid can sit there, whatever he's doing, homework, on the telephone, PlayStation, watching TV, reading the book, when they hear the adhan goes off on the clock or the alarm, and they get up on their own, you didn't say anything, your wife didn't say anything, they got up on their own and they prayed. You should thank Allah for that kid. And hold on to that. Cultivate it. Because it is not the norm. It is not the norm. I can't speak for anybody here because I don't know your situation. It's not the norm. So once again, before moving on to the next thing, we want to encourage our community. But this is applicable to everybody, but especially for our youngsters. Because you guys have a responsibility to maintain and protect this religion. You're the upcoming generation, inshallah, and these people are trying to change our religion. You're not a Muslim if you're not praying. You're something else. You're something else. Muslims pray the way we pray, the salat. The next mawqif of the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, is what happened in the seventh year of the Hijrah. The Yahud, they used to create a lot of problems in Medina, and they were three tribes. And one of the places that the Yahud were in control of was a place that's close to Medina called Khaybar. Khaybar. Rasulullah went and he conquered that place, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in Khaybar, there was a lot of wealth that came from the place, and they subdued the Yahud. So in it was khayr. It was a lot of good. The Muslims needed money. The Yahud were making trouble for them. So the Prophet effectively, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by defeating them, he cut off the drama and the fitna and the mashakil and the problems that those particular Yahud were giving the community, dealt with them. And in addition to that, he established the religion of Islam even further in the peninsula. And also in addition to that, all of the khayr that was in Khaybar, he was able to take the stuff from the fruit, the dates, all of the animals, and he gave that to the community, and it helped the Muslims. In the same year after that happened, his cousin, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, came from Al-Habasha because he was one of the people who made Hijrah twice. He went to Ethiopia, and he was in charge of the Muslims. He's the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. Prophet Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Ja'far came, I don't know which of the two make me more happier, makes me more afrah. Am I more happy that we conquered Khaybar with all of the good and the benefit that it gave the community? or the fact that my cousin is here. The relationship that the Prophet had with Ali, similar to the one with Ja'far, although Ali is better than Ja'far and he was closer. So the Prophet married his daughter Fatima to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Both of them grew up in the house of Nabuwa, but they were paternal cousins and they were close. Ja'far accepted Islam in Mecca. He left with the Muslims and he went to Ethiopia. For 7 years, he was gone from the Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even more than that, he was away from him. 12, 13 years, he was away. And then when the Prophet went to Medina, Ja'far came in the 7th year. Rasulullah said, I don't know which one of these two things makes me more happy. So it goes to show, number one, anytime Muslims, they are the recipients of something that is beneficial, and al-Islam is on top, and al-Islam wins, anytime that happens, we should be happy. And anytime something negative happens to Muslims, we shouldn't be happy about that. Even if it's not our country, someone else's country. Saudi Arabia. Some people don't like Saudi Arabia for whatever reasons. Wahhabi, Arabs, whatever. Nope, the Muslim is not like that. Muslim not like that. I just give you an example of Saudi Arabia because that's where the two harams are. Some people don't take Saudi Arabia's sighting of the moon. Some people don't want to do the Hajj during the days that Saudi Arabia says, do the Hajj. The Muslim says, no, I don't care what country it is. Libya? I've never been to Libya in my life. Never. But what's going on in Libya right now? No Muslim in his right mind should say this is something that is celebratory. No. How could it be? When the Muslims, as the Quran said, yashuddu ba'dhum ba'dha, or the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims are like one solid cemented structure and they support one another. So when they conquer those people, it was benefit to Islam, he was happy. And also, Ikhwani was happy that his cousin came. To have relatives is from the rahmah of Allah and the fadl of Allah. Someone coming from a long trip, or you re-hooking up with someone that you were not hooking up with before, maybe you were married to the lady and then you remarried her again, whatever the case is, whatever your interpersonal relationship is, this hadith is teaching us Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be protective and used to maintain and take care of his relationships with people, especially his relatives, especially. So when they come from trips, it is from our religion to show our joy. And it's from our religion as well to make them the guests of dinners. They came from Hajj, Umrah, they came from the country, whatever the case is. So that is an example of how the Prophet was just a balanced person, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to be honest, what I'm mentioning to you in this example, I think this is a seed that's in everybody's heart and mind anyway. I don't think there's anyone out of all these people watching, these sisters who are listening, I don't think there's a single person who says to himself, I can't be happy when I hook up with my relatives. But there are some people of our ummah like that because they can't get along with their relatives. They don't get along with their relatives. They don't get along with their family, their wives' family, and so forth and so on. So this is a time when the Prophet showed and expressed and manifested his happiness, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So what do you think is the case? If that was how we felt about Ja'far, who's cousin, what do you think his case is when he has grandchildren? Umama, for an example, Hassan and Hussein. He used to sit with those kids, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and radiallahu anhum. And he used to take water and put it in his mouth and blow the water on them, joking and laughing with his kids. It used to make them happy, to spend time. If his grandchild died, he cried and he was sad. That's when he cried and that's when he was sad. But when his grandchild came and he saw him do something, he would pick him up. He would be happy. So I don't know. I don't know about that father. I don't know about that father who is physically abusive to his kids. You need to be dealt with. You need to be dealt with. And I don't endorse what they used to do back in America. I don't endorse it. When the Muslims first started practicing African Americans in America, they had this group called the Dar and other brothers who came into al-Islam. If an individual would beat up his wife or beat up his kids, you going down in the basement in the mosque. Now, I don't support vigilante justice. I don't. But some of our children, our families are living in fear. My father's going to crack my head open if I laugh. My father's going to light me up if I make a mistake. No. Am I saying that we can't chastise our children? Kella. We deal with them, chastise them for big issues, like he said. You can hit them when they hit the age of 10. They reach the age of 10 and they don't pray. You can chastise them over salat. Something insignificant. There's another thing. You show me one person in here, who, when he was young and he was growing up, he didn't make mistakes and he didn't make bonehead moves. That's what kids do. They make bonehead decisions and moves. The mother told her son, listen to this. Son is memorizing the Quran. He is memorizing the Quran, probably memorized more of the Quran than most of us here. The mother said, go upstairs and bring me those pens that are on the dresser. I have to see them. Go give me the pens. The boy ran upstairs and he came back with a towel. And he gave it to the mother. The mother said, what is the towel for? He said, I don't know. And it doesn't make sense. You can't get your head around. Go and get the pins. And he comes back with a towel. Would it be good tarbiyah, and would it be Islamic, and would it be fair and just to beat that kid? To slap him? Someone sent me a video on WhatsApp. They said, send this video around to make it go viral so that they can catch this lady. And I remember a long time ago, there was a Muslim guy. He had a little baby girl who could not stand up yet. She wasn't ready to stand up, not even holding on to the table. And the guy was slapping the little baby. I'm sure some of you seen that. And they caught that guy from our community. So when they told me, do this, send it around, I looked at it. The little girl vomited. And the lady was standing over her, towering over her, slapping her. Why did you vomit? And the girl was cleaning. And that was the beginning of the video. I knew there was more to come. I didn't watch the rest. Because when it comes to kids like that, it's disturbing. So we want to tell our community, especially our Shabab, you little brothers, if you're being beat up and attacked like that by your mother, by your father, you're being bullied in school, as I always tell you, you let us know, inshallah. We'll try to help to deal with the situation. You fathers, mothers, anybody who's an abusive parent, it's haram. Haram Ali. Take it easy. From the mawqifs that the Prophet had, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is that when the Quran was revealed to him, he used to become very happy, especially certain surahs of the Quran, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like Surah Al-Fath. Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina. That ayat, hadith, or that surah was letting him know he's going to conquer Mecca. He said, a surah came down to me last night and it has made me happy. That's just one surah of the Quran. There are other surah of the Quran and other ayat of the Quran that are greater than Surah Al-Fath. So you look at the whole Quran. That's an issue. It's a fadl from Allah. It's a rahmah from Allah. Something that makes the Nabi of Islam happy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want to tell our kids, especially the ones who are memorizing the Quran. When you go to the Quran school, the duqsi and the madrasa of the Quran, and when you're making muraja'ah, don't look at going over the Quran as being arduous and it's a task and you don't want to do it. I do understand some of you go to school all day. By the time you get to Quran school or out of Quran school, you're tired. But the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never looked at the Quran in that way. Allah Ta'ala mentioned to him in the Quran, Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa. We did not reveal this Quran to you, Ya Muhammad, to make things difficult. As a parent, I have to take in consideration, my daughter is tired. She's been in school all day. I'm not sending her to the school today. I do that once in a while. You have to do that once in a while. Give her a break. But you can't do that every day or two, three times a week. You got to let her know. The Quran, it requires some commitment. And it's the best ibadah that you could be doing at this age. So just get with the program because you'll appreciate it later on. So for our youngsters, you have to know the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at the Quran, and the Quran was not something that it made him angry. It wasn't something that he beat people because of it. You go to the madrasa, and your teacher is hitting you in the madrasa, you have to let us know. We don't condone any teacher hitting the kids in the madrasa. Not at all. And don't come and tell me that Mujahid said that Ibn Abbas used to tie his leg up with a chain and that the companions used to hit the youngsters whenever they would swear by Allah. They would say, Wallahi, they would hit them to teach them, don't swear by Allah a lot. Don't make that your deen dinner. Don't tell me that, because I believe that and I know that. But nobody should be touching anybody else's kid. No one should be touching anybody else's kid. It's not your kid. Then don't chastise people's children. We're living in a society right now, in a day and a time right now, people are stealing our kids. They're kidnapping our kids from the masjid, molesting your kid. No. The Quran is a cause and a reason for happiness. As for the older members of the community, same thing. What is it about the Quran that we don't connect with the book of Allah Azza wa Jal the way that we could and the way that we should? I'm going to stop here, Khwani. If you brothers have any questions, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. I was just trying to show you just a few of the issues. I think this topic, this theme of the series is an important theme. Connect our community to the balance that the Prophet had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he used to be sad, and he used to be happy, and he used to become angry, and he used to cry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to have bewilderment. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said, he had the gamut of emotions that people have, except the negative ones. Like those emotions where a person wants to commit suicide. He's despondent. He's giving up hope. Rasulullah didn't have that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, Ikhwani, if you guys have any questions, you can put your questions forward. Halindukum shaykh. What is the difference between happiness and contentment? Contentment in Arabic is al-qina. Which contentment? Al-ghina? Huh? Which contentment? Huh? Yeah, but which one? Which one are you talking about? Like when you just satisfied with what Allah has given you and you feel satisfied. Yeah. You don't necessarily have to be happy when you are content. You don't have to be happy. A Muslim, as the hadith said, عَجِبًا مِنْ أَمْرَ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا يَكُنُ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا لِمُؤْمِنِ The Prophet said, I am amazed at the condition of the believer, and that's only for the believer. If good hits him, he thanks Allah, and that's good for him. And if evil hits him, he's patient, and that's good for him. So a person has a job, making minimum wage, and that's all he can get. He's not going further than that in his life. Minimum wage. He put his best foot forward. He tried his best. That's his job. But he is content with that situation. He doesn't look at other people and wish evil on them and have evil eye against them and has jealousy towards them and envy. He says, this is my qism from Allah Azza wa Jal, and I live with it. Doesn't mean he's happy with that situation. Doesn't mean that he's happy. He's a person who's content, as the hadith said. And that's what I was asking. Are you talking about the one who has ghina, he has enough, or contentment, like the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Laysa al-ghina an kathrat al-ard, al-ghina ghina al-nafs. It is not being rich, being contentment with money, that you have a lot of wealth. But real wealth is being satisfied with what Allah has given you. And Allah knows best. Any more questions, Ikhwani? Any more questions? Okay, then. Naktafi bihadha al-qadr. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go give me that pen. come back with the Talmud, crack your head open.